Good morning, everybody. It is good to be in the presence of the Lord, and my prayer is that the Spirit of the Lord will speak to us as we spend some time looking into God's Word. Right at the outset, I want to wish all the fathers a happy Father's Day. It is a very special day in the sense that we celebrate a very foundational human relationship. And this certainly didn't come from the swampy soup of evolution. This was God's design. Fathers, mothers. And this is so wonderful. I was thinking how unique that relationship is, where there is nurture involved, sacrifice and obedience. And it's so beautiful. Who could have designed it? It certainly was not something that evolved, simply evolved. But as we will find later on, it's a true reflection of God's own character. I'd like for us to read Psalm 103. I'm just going to read the whole psalm because it is so wonderful and has so much to say to us. And it's a song. So if you'd like to sing along in your heart, you're welcome to. It's a song of praise to God Almighty, our Father who takes care of us. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with life and compassion, with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works, everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Being a father and a parent, I say that also because I'm included in that company, is a tremendous privilege and responsibility. It brings us tons of joyful moments and creates so many precious memories, fantastic experiences that seem to stay forever in our minds. Even though our children have grown up into, you know, bigger sizes, still the memories of childhood just seem to be superimposed on where they are now. And we get to witness as parents defining moments of life for these children. We can't remember our own because we were too little, but we can see our children, and what a blessing that is. And we can file away memories of happy occasions, and we cherish these in our hearts. What a privilege it is to be a father, and I also would like to include mothers being a parent. It is tremendous. And it's always a joyful thing to walk down memories lane, pull up all those old pictures and see how far we've come. That's a blessing. But parenting also has potential for sorrow. How many parents, we just heard about a dad who lost his daughter. Children making bad choices. And it's especially sad when parents have put in a lot of effort, I mean a lot of effort, to bring up their children in the right way. The children know the truth, and yet they make very poor choices in life. It must be so hard for parents to watch them. And in some cases, children are the casualty of very poor parenting. Either they are just neglected or abused. And, you know, we live in a real world of hurt and sorrow. It's a beautiful world, no doubt. But it's also a sad world. And it's broken. And it's at times even dangerous. And if you read the story of some of these hardcore criminals and try to trace back to the root of the problem, many of them end up with, they started with a poor childhood. They didn't have guidance as they grew up. They picked up wild ideas because there was nobody to guide them. So they missed something crucial in their lives. And parenting is a huge responsibility because we get to influence the lives of our children. They will impact families and churches and communities and eventually the world itself. What a precious responsibility that is. And as parents, we care for our children, we protect them, we provide for their needs, we establish a safe environment for them, and we strive, we work hard to set up our children with a good foundation for their lives. Nobody in their right mind wants to see their children rotting and failing in life. We all want them to succeed. That's just a natural desire God has given us. That's how He created us as parents. And we try to protect them from all kinds of dangers. When they are small, from physical dangers. As they grow up, it starts to get a little more difficult and complex. We try to save them from a dangerous spiritual world. And this parenting involves a lot of effort. I'm preaching to the choir, I know that. It involves a lot of effort. It's training and it's passing on values and principles and life lessons. This is a lot of work. Parenting was never supposed to be easy. And it's an ongoing responsibility, although there's just one or two days on the calendar earmarked to celebrate parenthood. This is a daily, 365 days a year, ongoing task till you die. Parenting never ends. And you know what? That's how God is. And that's how He created us to be parents to a whole bunch of human beings who are going to grow up and take our place. And I want to picture before you a set of ideal situations from a parenting standpoint that I could think are really ideal. For example, if a parent provides an exemplary life that the children can safely imitate, and whenever they are lost, they can just recall the memory of their parents, and there they have guidance and instruction and encouragement. I can personally think of, you know, cases where I can pull back to memory somebody's life, and I'm encouraged. That's the value of a good parent, a strong parent. The child always has that lifelong lesson to consider, a good parent. I've heard a funny story or read of it, a family that went out to a big event and won a raffle prize. They came home, and all these five children are squabbling for that prize. And the father says that, okay, here's how we're going to decide who gets it. And the father says that the one who has always been obedient to the mother, has listened to their mom and have carried out all her wishes, that's the child who's going to get this prize. Nobody else. All five children immediately dropped their complaints and said, "Dad, you deserve it." Beyond the obvious takeaway of this, you know what that tells me? That these little children, they don't listen to what we say. They're watching us. Our lives are a lesson for these children. They're reading us all the time. And as I was preparing this message, I was convicted myself of some things. And I think this message is for me. And I hope it is for you as well. That our children watch us all the time. They don't so much listen to what we say. You can tell them what you want, but at the end of the day, they're going to do what you do, mostly, unless God has mercy on them. So, and another ideal situation is where parents consider that they are stewards of God's blessing. These children are not ours. They're entrusted to us for a while, and after a few years, they're going to leave you, just like you left your parents. Not that you abandoned them, but you had to move on with your own responsibilities. And that's how God intended. A man to join to his wife, be separated from his father and mother, another unit starts. So as parents, when we consider that we have them for a short time, we are stewards, and that we are accountable to God for these children. We don't own these children. We didn't create them. God created them. They came through us. But they belong to God, and that we are accountable. Another ideal situation, I think, is where we feel that this is a God-given responsibility. Our service to God involves raising up children. Our service to God, it is part of our service to God, and we are accountable to this. Right in Deuteronomy chapter 6, after the Lord our God is one God, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and right after that, are instructions to the parents to bring up their children in the fear of the Lord. That's how important it is in God's eyes. I know it is a neglected trade. It's a neglected skill. It's outsourced these days. But no, there is no substitute for real hard parenting. God has not placed plan B for that. Parents have to step up and do what is needful. That is God's plan. That is God's wisdom. Don't try anything else because you won't succeed. And look, the world is failing. What all experiments are being tried? Two people coming together who are not parents for the child, how can they ever feel the same? I don't know. So let's not deprive our children of godly instruction and upbringing. Take the whole counsel of God. Children are our responsibility. And another ideal situation is that there comes a time when parents have to leave this world. If we can leave behind a strong legacy of faithfulness to God that spurs people to follow on, press on, and stay on the path of God's laws or obedience. That's a wonderful example. I'm sure you can recall people who lived such lives. And whenever I recall such people to my mind, it just tells me, keep going on. Keep going on. That is the right way to live. In my own situation, my dad is still alive. I'm privileged to have my dad who is a very godly man. Whenever I think about him, it was very clear what his priority was. It was the Lord. It was God's word. And so that still is a strong guiding light. He's not with me. I've not lived with him for a good 20 years now. But the memory of that childhood where I saw him always getting up in the morning, first thing on his knees, reading the word of God. In the evening when he comes back from work, that's what he does. You know, John, last week in his school, he had to draw something for Father's Day. Each child had to draw something for their father. It's funny, he came back, he's feeling a little embarrassed, but when he brought it back, you know, some of the things he wrote was about my clothing styles. And one thing he wrote was, he's always looking into the computer screen doing some work. Oh my, this is not what I wanted. This is not all that I wanted him to walk away with. So children observe us, and they're going to grade us, whether you like it or not. They're watching us. That's how God has kept it to be. You know, I thought about this when God gave us children. Did you ever take them to classes to teach them to walk? How did they start walking? And I remember a time when my boys used to imitate everything that I did. Now they've grown up and they don't as much. They're making their own choices, but we are their best examples. Not only that, now I'm going to talk to the children here. I see a few, and I'm still a child. I have my parents. We are people with free will. As we grow up, we start to make decisions for our own. But you know, God is going to hold you accountable. God says in His Word that we must listen to our parents. Hearken to your parents. It's important. It's something that God is going to hold you accountable. He gave you your parents so that they can bring you up in the fear of the Lord. Obey your parents. Paul writes, children, obey your parents. He adds a phrase which I love, in the Lord. And I tell my children, if I ever tell them to do something that is not right in God's sight, feel free to refuse it. Because ultimately, they and me were accountable to the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. But in the Ten Commandments, the first commandment when it talks about human relationships is honor your father and mother. So children, honor your father and your mother. That is God's command that we honor Him, that we honor our father and mother, and that's how we keep His commandment. And the book of Proverbs has got so much of instructions. I just wrote down a little bit on my screen here. I'm going to read it out. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. In another place, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Then another place, hearken unto thy father that begat thee and despise not thy mother when she is old. And yet another place, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Now here are some warnings. A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. So says the word of God. It is a solemn responsibility to honor our father and mother. It is the first commandment with promise, Apostle Paul says in Ephesians. I want to take a few moments for some examples from the Bible. And these are not perfect people, by the way. We're living in a sin-cursed world. But there are examples that we can learn from. And some of them are shocking, just to prepare you for this. David, King David, a man after God's own heart. Two times in Scripture, it's very clearly listed. He failed in this area of parenting. He did not correct his first son when his son committed a heinous crime. And later, when Absalom's brother took over the throne before Solomon was crowned king, it's again mentioned, he never corrected his son. A man after God's own heart. Truly he was that, but he was not perfect. And God's word doesn't sugarcoat it. It just lays it as it is, that David failed to correct his children in the ways of the Lord. That's hard. God sees it. He records it. Another person who is shocking, who made the list, is Eli. Eli was a high priest. He had two sons who were so wicked. If you read about them, it's just, it's not good. But he never corrected his son. And if I were to read, little Samuel, when the Lord started talking to him, he heard something that about Eli. And Eli, remember, he's the senior in the temple. This is what the Lord told him in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verses 11 through 14. You don't have to turn to it yet. I'll read it. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verses 11 to 14. And the Lord said to Samuel, remember, Samuel is still a little boy. I don't know how he bore this news, how he could take it. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. So it's not the boys alone. Now it's the father who shares that responsibility and that blame, because he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. I didn't say it. God said it to Samuel. Pretty harsh words. It's a solemn responsibility to watch our children, how they grow up. Happy Father's Day. It's a job of responsibility. It's not just cuddly, bubbly moments, but it involves a lot of work. And the last one who made the list, the small list that I made, is very surprising. Very surprising. Samuel himself. Can you believe it? Samuel was so busy, maybe he neglected, I feel. I don't want to jump to conclusions, but that somehow precipitated the nation of Israel to say that, Samuel, when you're dead and gone, we do not want your children judging us. They are not good people. Give us a king. 1 Samuel chapter 8, and I'll just read verse 4 and 5. So all the elders of Israel, we're talking about a big company of people, who came together and came to Samuel at Ramah. Ramah was Samuel's hometown. They came to Samuel, and Samuel was a very honorable man. Never took anything from anybody. He served the Lord. But this is something sad we read about him. They said to him, you are old, and your sons do not follow your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. Samuel died listening to these words, that his sons don't follow him. That must be sad. I don't know if Samuel corrected and the children willfully did that. In that case, you don't have a regret because you've done what you could. But if you never told your children the right way, the world is waiting to pounce and rip them apart. Now, there are some good examples. I think about Job. He was a man who every day prayed for his children, sacrificed for them. He thought that my children, if they have cursed God in any way, I must pray for them. Job was a man who felt for his family. Another interesting name is Jonadab. We have no time to get into details, but you can read it up in 2 Kings and also in Jeremiah. He was a man who commanded his children three things. You can call him a legalist if you'd like, but God took a leaf out of his example and out of his book and said, this is the kind of man I'm looking for. You know what he said? He asked his children to do three things. Not to drink wine, not to build a house, which means just live in tents, and the third is not to have a vineyard. And 250 years later, many generations having gone through, the children of Jonadab were still following Jonadab's instruction. And God made a promise to this family that you will forever have people standing before me. The children of Jonadab, read about him in Jeremiah chapter 35. And God used that as an example to tell the people of Israel, I've done so much for you, and you have ignored my commandments. You've considered it as a strange thing. But look at Jonadab's family. They keep their father's commandment. It's 250 years. They still keep their father's commandment. Actually, it's good to have some traditions. We're not talking about legalism. It's good to have godly traditions at home. Don't take them away, because what comes next is not godly. It is going to be further worse. We're not talking about legalism here. But it is good to have good practices, because the children learn by practice. Eventually, they'll understand the reasoning behind it. But don't wait for them to understand it. Put them in the groove. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. The last example on the good list is Abraham. He is called as the father of many nations. Read about him, what God says about the way he raised up his family. And that tells me why he has been given a fatherly position in the Bible. Genesis chapter 18. And verse 19, so it reads, when God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, this is what he said, for I have chosen him, that is Abraham, so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. God saw Abraham's heart, that he's going to keep his whole family and all his household in the fear of the Lord. And God said, I value it. I don't know what our heart is for our family. We might want our children to do very well in for themselves. But I think nothing can compare with living for the Lord. That's what God looks for. Everything else is going to pass away. You know, accomplishment, possessions, they come and go. We'll all pass away. But if you've lived for the Lord, that matters forever. The world passeth away and its lust thereof, but he who does the will of God abideth forever. And so, in Romans chapter 4, I was counting how many times it's mentioned about Abraham, that he is the father of all them that believe. He's the father of circumcision, father of us all, father of many nations. This is given a very high place in Scripture, Abraham, because he had that kind of a view for his household. And he carried with him the promise that through me, all the nations of the world will be blessed. And last Wednesday in our Bible study, we said, Father Abraham, we belong to him because of Christ. We are in the same family. And then, although we may not have physical children, but I must encourage those who don't have children, who are not fathers, we still can be fathers. The Bible has plenty of it. There is something called as spiritual fathers. You see it all over in the New Testament. Paul, an apostle, we don't have any evidence of him being married and having children. But he had so many children in the Lord that he always thought about them. He cared for them. In the churches of Galatia, Thessalonica, in Corinth, he said, my little children, I brought you up. I gave birth to you in the Lord. And then there are men whom he trained, like Timothy and Titus. So we don't all need to be having our own children, we look around and you can be a spiritual father or a spiritual mother, somebody who brings that influence in people's lives. It was not only Paul, but John the Apostle. He had that desire, and he writes, this morning we read, my little children, when he wrote, he thought about them as his own children. And then in that group, he addresses fathers who are there in that church. In 2 John, he says that, I have no greater joy than my children walk in the truth. If you went to John and told him, I just bought a brand new house, he'd say, great. But if you told him that, I'm walking in the ways of the Lord, he'd be more excited. Because they knew that keeping the ways of the Lord ultimately is what mattered the most. For John, it was, he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. We'll move on. This work of parenthood in the Lord has a huge reward, not just for here, but for eternity. I want to come to the last point, but this one is very important. The God of the universe wants to relate to us as a father. This is the best way he wants to relate to us. How do I know it? Because the Lord Jesus showed it. He called his father, he called God of the universe as his father. And now when I'm thinking back, and this is just my imagination, when God created this world and he created families, he wanted some of his own nature in people to take care of other human beings. Both the image of a father. And so God in Scripture says, like as a father has compassion on his children, the Lord has compassion. Why? Because the Lord made that example in the first place to show us what our heavenly father is like. Our earthly fathers ought to be a reflection of the heavenly father. In another place in Hebrews we read, as a father corrects his children, fathers are expected to discipline their children, especially when they go wrong, so that they will not continue in the wrong, but they will be restored. But God is not just a father. He has many of the motherly attributes. How do I know? It is straight in Scripture. As a hen covers her chicks, I have desired to cover Jerusalem, he says. In another place he says, as an eagle fluttereth over its young, training it to fly. God is a complete parent. We call him as father, but he is the one who also created mothers in this world to take care of the young. And in Psalm 103, he says, the Lord shows compassion. I want to tell you something, that the Lord knows us more than, better than we can ever know ourselves. In Psalm 103, I hope you notice, we are, at best, frames of dust. Not frames of steel, but we are walking frames of dust. We're just that. And if God should touch his heart, we'll be no more. He knows our frame. He deals with us compassionately every day, giving us the breath we take, keeping our body going. And even when life brings us suffering, it is because he has allowed it, so that we will come to know him, so that all the distractions and the frivolities of life would be taken away, and we will keep our eyes on God. Sometimes he takes away that cover, so that we see reality as it is. I thank God for some of my times of suffering because it gave me a better understanding about life and about myself and about God. It gave me a whole new perspective of what matters in life. And it actually is liberating when you know the living God through suffering. It sets you on a solid foundation of God's truth. Remember this, God has compassion on us. Even when we are in our worst moments, he is a compassionate God. And maybe that's a vessel he chooses to bring blessing into our life. And another place, he corrects us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. In the book of Job, in Hebrews, in Proverbs, it is written that the Lord corrects us. Praise God for his correction because he wants us to be like him. So when we wander away, there's a spanking that follows. So we turn back to the Lord. And if he didn't love us, he wouldn't care about us. But praise God, he does. And in James chapter 1, verse 17, we read about the Lord being a good father, the father of lights, with whom is no variableness. That just brought to my memory a little incident I read from Charles Swindoll's book, Grace Awakening. It's an excerpt, but I think you'll enjoy this. He writes about his childhood memory. I vividly remember my last spanking. It was on my 13th birthday. As a matter of fact, having just broken into the sophisticated ranks of the teen world, I thought I was something on a stick. My father wasn't nearly as impressed as I was with my great importance and newfound independence. I was lying on my bed. He was outside the window on a muggy October afternoon in Houston, weeding the garden. He said, "Charles, come out and help me weed the garden." I said something like, "No, it's my birthday, remember?" My tone was sassy, and my deliberate lack of respect was eloquent. I knew better than to disobey my dad, but after all, I was the ripe old age of 13. There's something funny. He says then, he set a new 100-meter record that autumn afternoon. He was in the house and all over me like white on rice, spanking me all the way to the garden. As I recall, I weeded until moonlight was shining on the pansies. That same night, he took me out for a surprise dinner. He gave me what I deserved earlier. Later, he gave me what I did not deserve. The birthday dinner was grace. Our Father sometimes has to deal with us lovingly so that we don't continue in our foolishness. I need it. And this Father never changes. And oh, how he loves us. I wish I had the time to sing how deep the Father's love for us. This morning, we just sat here thinking about the love of our Father. He gave his only begotten Son for us. That's how much he loved us. Behold what manner of love the Father has shown to us, that we should be called the children of God. How did I, a child of the devil, get into the family of God? Why did he give me his Spirit so I could call him Abba, Father? This is too big a privilege that he has given me. God is the greatest Father. There is nobody like him. And the Lord Jesus, he came to reveal the Father to us. He always used the word Father when talking about God. There was no lesser idea in his mind when he related to his Father. The Lord Jesus spoke of his Father always. Read the lines and you'll see, Father, Father, it comes again and again. He spoke to his Father always, mostly in private, but many times in public too. And he spoke in the name of the Father always. And he called him with the sweetest name in the time of his agony. He said, "Abba, Father, if it be willing, take this cup from me." You and I can call that very name and address God. And he did great works in the name of his Father. And he made a claim, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." We fathers, who are fathers here, and all of us have had fathers, were all very poor imitations of the Heavenly Father, who Jesus Christ came to reveal. And he said that, "When you believe in me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." He had that special relationship, and he's willing to give it to anybody who would receive him. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Welcome to this wonderful family where the Father and Son have done so much good in this universe that books and ideas and words cannot contain. And he's inviting us into that loving relationship. And the Father on his part says, "This is my beloved Son. He kept my word all the time. He is obedient unto me even unto the death of the cross. This is my Son, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world." And the Lord Jesus is reconciling us to the Father. What a Son! What a Son is this, that at his own cost he would bring a bunch of enemies into his family by paying the ultimate price, redemption through his blood. And he says that, "He who loves me and keeps my word, my Father and I will come and abide with him." You can enjoy God's presence, the presence of God the Father, when you walk in his ways, when you love him. I tell you, this is the greatest. Father's Day can be ours forever if we are in this wonderful relationship with the Lord Jesus. And when I notice the New Testament, I have no time to read it. If you read many of the New Testament letters, it immediately starts, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know how these early disciples understood God? I just learned it last night as I was preparing, and this morning, that they saw God as the Father of the Lord Jesus. They didn't see him as somebody out there. They knew better that he is the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they addressed him as Father, Father of glory, Father of mercies, Father of lights, Father of love, so many ways. And we are going to our Father's home, by the way. The Lord Jesus is coming to take us to his Father's home. So I'm going to close with this. Are you his child? Do you know this Father? If not, come to Jesus. And you will gain an entrance into this family. It will never be taken away from you. It is for eternity. And when you are in this family, he will teach you how to pray. You can pray in the name of the Lord Jesus to the Father. And then when the Lord Jesus came back from his crucifixion and resurrection, you know, he told those women that I am going to my Father and your Father. I'm going to my God and your God. Is the Father of the Lord Jesus my Father? Yes. I don't think I can have a better position in this world. And if you are his child, then the Lord expects something from us. Reflect the goodness of this Father. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The Lord wants that we would point to the goodness of this Father who sent his Son, who so loved the world and sent his Son. He wants all of us each day to glorify this Father. And after I realized this early this year, I started reading the Gospels. I started noting out every time the Lord talked about the Father, and it became a very nice picture. We don't have time now, but I found that to be very helpful. So I want to close with these questions. Hopefully they challenge you. How can I be a better parent? What is God telling us in his word about being a better parent? I really need to be careful myself because I have a long way to go with my children and those around me. But God has disclosed in his word the right way to parent because he's the best parent. And the second part of my question is, how can I grow in my understanding and relationship to God as my Father? He's not an abstract person, just a mighty, powerful guy. He is full of wisdom, power, and love. There is nobody. You can call God as your Father. And you can act as if you're God's own child. You can, because you are. How can I grow in my understanding? And how can I glorify my Father in the short life that I have? It'll be over before you realize. Our lives will be over. How can I glorify him? I'd like to close in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, the Son who laid down his life for us so that we could be your children and call you Abba, Father. It is really a privilege to call you Abba, Father. And you have given us everything we need in your Son. And we thank you for this day when we can think about you. There is coming a time when we will be thinking about you alone all the time. We thank you that even today you have granted us some time to consider our Heavenly Father. And we thank you for your Son who revealed the Father to us. Help us that we will be good parents to our children and good children to our parents. And that we will also learn to know you as our Father and learn to glorify you in the days that you give us. Send us now with your blessings. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives in us and teaches us and guides us into all truth. And we ask all these things in the name of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.